As usual, I have a title here for us to talk on, and it might seem a little bit strange, but we will talk on this, and hopefully the title you will understand. But we're calling our teaching today, Our Elijah Must Go. Our Elijah Must Go. And I'm going to base this from 2 Kings in chapter 2. And I want to read primarily verses 1 to 14. 1 to 14, because here is the story of where Elijah is preparing to depart. He's going to be caught up by the chariot of the Lord. And this is a type of rapture, snatching, catching away. And we see how that Elijah is with Elisha, and how Elisha is a man of faith. He won't be denied. He's going to go all the way with this man. So we're calling this teaching today, Our Elijah Must Go. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verses 1 to 14. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah was with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" I'm always interested how these prophets knew this. You see, the Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit always speaks to the prophet ministry. And the prophet ministry is always pointing to the future, to an event, something that is going to happen. And they say, "Do you not know that the Lord will take your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." So Elisha also knew. So Elisha has insight what God is about to do. And this is his vision to continue with Elijah and not give up. He's heard from God and he knows he's going to be rewarded. Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. So again, he makes a stand. His faith is acting. Elijah is telling him to stay here. It's not as though he's encouraging him or giving him any support. It's quite negative, if anything. But no, he's not going to take no for an answer, because he's heard from God. And then it goes on, verse 5. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." So the prophets also here in Jericho have had word that Elijah is going to be taken up. And so again, they're saying, "Well, why are you following him? He's going to be taken up." "Yes, I know, but keep silent." He's not listening to the negative. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the waters, and it was divided this way and that. And so the two of them crossed over on dry ground. So we note again Israel's departure from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, the parting of the sea. Here we see another miracle taking place. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So you see, all the while, Elijah is trying to tell him to go back. That's really what it is. But he's been persistent. Faith is not taking no for an answer. He's enduring. He's an overcomer. And Elijah says this, and he says, "Okay, right, you mean business. What is it then you want?" It strikes me a little bit like the persistent widow who knocks and knocks and knocks on the master's door. And sometimes this is what God requires of us. And so he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, then suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. We'll just stop there for a while. So, it's not wrong looking at this up to now with Elisha depending upon Elijah. And we can see clearly that God has given Elijah to Elisha. God is using him as a mentor to teach him to walk by faith, to teach him the ways of Almighty God, because Elisha has been called as a prophet. And so he needs to be taught. He's called among the prophets for a special task because he meets with the other prophets. They're all together. They are prophesying. They have insight of what God is about to do. But Elisha is called to walk with Elijah, because God is going to use Elisha. You see, each have different ministries and callings. And this is why the deeper life in the Spirit is a calling on those like Elisha, who will not take no for an answer, who are remaining faithful to the word, to the teaching that God has given, even though it is negative at times, it seems as though nothing is happening, might as well just go back and join the rest. But something continues to keep us going. And Elisha had a vision. And that vision was he was going to receive something from Elijah. And our vision and call in these last days, with God preparing and making us wise virgins, the vision and call is we are destined to be with Christ around his throne. We will be with him in eternity. We are going to be at his side, betrothed to him, working together with him. Can you see the spiritual analogy? This is why he's calling a remnant out of the harvest who will mature as first fruits. They're the ones who will go up in the rapture first. Just like Elijah is soon to be caught up. And we see in verse 14, and it says, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And so he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Why? Because those garments are of no use any longer. He's receiving a new garment. And then he goes on, and then he also struck the waters, and it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. So his old garments would be no good. He needs the new mantle of Elijah in which to part those waters. There is the miracles. They have to be given. It's an anointing. And so he crosses over the Jordan. Now, what do we understand the Jordan? Well, the Jordan, one of the spiritual aspects or understanding of the Jordan or River Jordan, it means separation, where there is no fellowship with anyone else. He's going to cross over. He goes over on his own. At last, he has now got to learn that he is going to be on his own from now on. Elijah has been his help and mentor and brought him to this place. He's now received Elijah's mantle, but Elijah, or his Elijah, is now taken away. In other words, you've been before the Jordan with Elijah, but it's now over to yourself. So what is going on here? You see, to have a real faith, you have to go through your Jordan. You have to be separated at one point. You've had your helps, your mentors, those you've looked to have been inspiration and encouragement. But God now, he's taking us deeper into sonship. And that means that God is going to have us on our own with him, where he's going to teach us more now about that spiritual mantle. In other words, you are having God now who is going to lead and guide and direct. There are many aspects through the work of the Holy Spirit, how he works. And we all want to hold on to the former things. We don't like change. It's not in man's nature. The fall has done that. But you see, God will not let us become stagnant or stale. He is going to move us on at that right time. And it's exactly the same with Elisha. For Elisha's ministry now, to have that double portion, which he had, and he did greater miracles that were shown, he now has to be without his Elijah. And the Jordan is where you part, you cross over. We see in verse 15, and it goes on here, "Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came and met him and bowed to the ground before him." So what has happened here? They have seen the anointing of Elijah has now fallen on Elisha. These are prophets, but they don't have that same standing as Elisha has. And they bow down and they recognize that anointing that God has placed on him. And Jericho is where you have seen your Elijah to do great things. Jericho now is your training ground. And this is where God trains us. And we have been in training for many years. Jericho, in many ways, is like the wilderness. It is the wilderness where God gets the world idolatry out of us. This is where he delivers us. He removes those hindrances, those open doors into the mind that the enemy still buffets and works. These are the conditions for how God is preparing the sons of God in these last days. And then it goes on. "Then they said to him," verse 16, "Now there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, 'You shall not send anyone.' But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, 'Send them.' Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, 'Did I not say to you, do not go?'" There's the difference. Those prophets are still not obedient to the word of God, unlike Elisha is. And so he lets them go. Go and search for him then, Elijah. You won't find him. And of course they come back. He's absolutely right. And there is the difference between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. The foolish virgins have not learnt to yield to the Spirit, but they resist the Spirit. In other words, they don't obey. And the only way that God can get us to yield to the Spirit is our Jericho experience, our wilderness experience. This is where we learn to obey. to submit to God's will and way. This is where he trains us, like Elisha, not to give up, not to take second best, but the very best. This is where you have to have a vision set before you. For God says, without a vision, you perish. In other words, you get lost, you get diverted. And that call upon our life, that we are destined for the throne of God. And then we come to where Elijah performs miracles. And then we see in verse 23, where it says, and then he went up from there to Bethel, and he was going up the road, and some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald-headed, go, you bald-headed. And so he turned around and he looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. So at your Bethel is where it seems God has left you. You're all alone. But this is the place for wisdom. This is the place where you stand on the word, you wait and you watch. The wisdom of God was not going to have Elisha mocked. He had to learn that. That wasn't about him. They were coming against God in him because he's got Elijah's mantle, and they were mauled by these female bears. So what is happening to Elisha? Elisha isn't looking for his Elijah any longer. He's not saying, oh, if only Elijah was here, this sort of thing would never have happened or whatever. Not at all. He's in Bethel now, where he's completely alone with God. And God is now teaching him, giving him wisdom, getting him to stand on the word and the promises of God. You've not always been able to stand on the word and the promises of God always because you're still relying on others to do it for you. You're still relying on others to pray for you or to believe for you or whatever it would be. I face this on social media every day. I have many each day wanting me to pray for them. I say, why isn't God answering your prayers? You are a man of God. God will answer your prayers. I constantly get that. Now, why is that? We perhaps did it once. It's because they've not crossed the Jordan. They've not gone into their Bethel experience, where God wants to train them and teach them to walk by faith. I try and encourage these people to take their cross up, to settle the cross, to go to their Gethsemane. And a few hear, and many of them do not want to know. Because God calls the Elishas for that Elijah anointing. It is a calling on your life. It is a vision that God gives us. Don't ask me how we know. Don't ask me why, when we hear it, it sounds right. It is right. These are the mysteries of God. There are people in the world who are called to the sea. They're called to go on the sea. They have boats. They want to go on their yachts or whatever it is. They can't get enough of going on to the sea. Why is that? Because they hear the voice of the sea calling them. And not everybody has it. This is why you see some people are drawn to certain things. Some people are drawn as mountaineers to climb huge, great mountains. I personally don't understand a lot of that, but they do. They hear the voice calling them. Well, how much more then we who have the Holy Spirit, who is calling us as overcomers to go deeper with him. And Elisha knew that calling. He had a vision that Elijah was soon to be caught up. He was hearing from God, and he was after that mantle, and he got it. Yes, he was put off in the natural. He was told to go back. But you see, something within us, we defy that. We defy the enemy throwing obstacles in front of us, trying to speak the negative, trying to tell us that God doesn't love us, he's not faithful, he's not true to his word or whatever. But something within us takes no notice of it, and we carry on. Why? Because God said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We don't know what else to do but to follow the great shepherd. Why? Because it's in us. We hear it. You see? Can't explain it. They are the mysteries of God. This is why I say you can't really work out your salvation, how and when it really happened. There's a time, yes, when we commit or we commit our lives to God. But very often when you hear testimonies of people and say, with my life, I became aware God's presence is calling way, way, way back when I was young. I don't know how. I can't explain it. But I knew. And that's that deep calling by the Spirit. And Elisha, he knew this. And the overcomers, the wise virgins, preparing, making themselves ready, they know this. This unction of the Spirit, because it won't let us rest. I thank God it won't let us rest. We've all tried going off and doing our own thing. We've all said to ourselves, oh, I've had enough of this walk. Can't take any more of it. And what do? Next week, we're back in the room listening to the word. Why? Because something within us is calling us. That's why. And you are going to praise and thank God for that on that day when you stand in his presence and cast your crown before him, his throne, that he didn't give up on us. That is your calling from the foundation of the world. And with that calling, you are elect, chosen. These are the great, profound mysteries of Almighty God and salvation. Because as we know, if God doesn't call us, no one will be saved. That's why most of the world are not interested. They're not interested what we believe, what we hold to, what we confess, the word of God we read. But like Elisha, he was a man of faith. And he knew how to pray the prayer of faith because his experiences going through the Jordan, Jericho, Bethel, these are places where God is training and teaching him. And so where does God train and teach us? In the house of God. Where two or three gather together, he says, there am I in the midst. He's brought us here today to train us, to teach us. You see? Just like Elisha going through the Jordan, Jericho, Bethel, these places which are preparing him to be able to stand on his own before Almighty God so that God can continue to use him against Israel, a prophet to Israel. We can glean from these principles the office of a prophet, which of course is in Ephesians 4:11, which God calls the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We are in many ways in the prophetic time in ministry. There are many, many false prophets. I hear them, I see them. Far, far more than there are the anointed called prophets. And Jesus spoke of this. He said there will be many false teachers, false prophets in the last days. Many actually meaning most of them. But there will be a few. And you will always tell a true minister and a true prophet, for a true prophet will always point you to Christ. Every ministry that God raises up in his body always points you to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It is not about them. They don't honour themselves, expose themselves with pride. Look what I have done. Look at my ministry. Look how many follow me, and so on. Oh, you hear a lot of that. It's very subtle. They don't say it, of course, like that. But no, these true ministries that are called of God are the least in the body of Christ, and they know their place in which to serve the body as servants. These are just some of the characteristics of which we discern a ministry. And Elisha is learning how to be that next prophet after Elijah. And it is very important, as I close now, that he learns these principles because he's receiving a double anointing. And his ministry was greater miracles than even Elijah. And Elijah was greatly used. Greatly used against Jezebel and the false prophets of Baal. How he dealt with whoredom in Israel, and fire, judgment came down upon the altar and consumed his offering, and he slayed the prophets of Baal. Great man of God and faith, stood for what was right and just. And that is what a prophet will do. A prophet will stand for what is right, what is just, and will point the way and warn the people, the church, of what is coming. But he's also a man who teaches the word as well. This is why, you see, the deeper life in the Spirit teaching is very prophetic. We received it through a prophet and a teacher. And this, of course, clarifies what the prophecy of Joel says, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. It's come by revelation, brothers and sisters. When I heard this teaching, the deeper life, I knew. I don't know how. I had that witness within the Spirit. And one of the things that challenged me was, this is impossible to walk. This is impossible to keep. This is impossible, naturally speaking. And all of that revealed to me that Almighty God can and will make it possible. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. And this is why God has us in outwardly looking impossible situations. But he's made no mistake, brothers and sisters, because Elisha is receiving that double portion. And our preparation in what God is doing with us, both individually and corporately, is so that we receive that mantle, the miracles and the signs that follow it. No wonder the enemy fights like he does. We see quite clearly how the enemy was vocal, trying to put Elisha off. But Elisha wasn't going to have it, because the word of God was in his heart. Hallelujah. And that's why God is getting his word into our hearts. Our Elijah must go. That's what we've been talking about today.